Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
California. Welcome in, everybody. We've got a full house today. Happy Saturday to all of you. We've got Boris. We've got Oz. We've got Nia. We've got producer Casey.
Good morning.
And this is Sean Roberts. And together, we are your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you are new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is simply about having fun. We recap our past week and enlighten your day with laughter.
That's right, buddy. Laughter, all the things that we experience in everyday life, the embarrassment, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things we're afraid to talk about, but damn it, we still do.
No, not that subject. Well, you know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show and join in the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Or send a message through Twitter or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yep, and we've got a pretty cool show for you guys today. I know we've been away for a little while, and that's all right. We had the Strawberry Festival a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we were just a bit out of town, so to speak. We had past moments with you guys. But today, we're going to be catching up. We've got some horoscopes. We've got some things we're going to be talking about. Give some advice to the graduates. We got some special tweets for you. And, of course, we got sports with Oz. And we got what's news, and even maybe a little bit of a historical inaccuracy.
You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. Today's theme song is Young Love by Aldo Nova. If you haven't heard of this artist, pick him up. He had a big hit back in, early 80s, with a song called Fantasy. This song actually comes off of an album called Blood on the Bricks that he co-produced and co-wrote a lot of the songs with Jon Bon Jovi. It's a really, really good album, so you guys definitely want to check it out. As we always say, any of the music that we play on our show, you can go to our main sponsor, which is Amazon.com. And get the music from there. All you have to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and shop to your heart's delight. Get everything from the songs that we play to toilet paper to whatever else that you need out there. You never know, because essentials are important. Mm-hmm. Right, Forrest?
That's true. I always need toilet paper.
Exactly. You never know what's going
to yeah. Always.
Yeah. You never have enough.
Always.
Even if you have a bidet, you still need it, though. So, you know, because you got to dry yourself, you know. Hey, can you correct the last part of that song there, Casey? That was a good song. Did you ever hear of Aldo Nova before?
Fantasy. Yeah. Not a whole lot, but I like it.
Did you ever get into him by chance or anything?
I did not, but I will after this show. Fantasy
was like not my introduction to him, but it was a discovery because I had seen an interview with him and how Jon Bon Jovi helped him out. Mm. And it was just like a string of different things that John was doing. Like right after, I think it was the Yeah, the New Jersey tour, and they kind of, the band kind of took a break. So John was doing his solo album from Blaze of Glory, and then he was helping out also singer-songwriter Billy Falcon, who have now partnered up since like the mid-90s, basically, and wrote a number of songs.
Yeah.
And Billy is one of those, he's like a songwriter kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a number of tunes that he's co-written with John. And and Waddy Wachtel was the one who brought John over to work with Billy. And then during the, I think it was all during the New Jersey tour or whatever, where he ran into Aldo. And he's like, well, what are you doing now? Whatever, you know, because Aldo kind of like disappeared after Fantasy, you know. And he says, well, I'm still writing, I'm still doing this, I'm still doing that. And he goes, well, why don't you come on the road with us? And so he and John then start doing a whole bunch of writing in between the shows at the hotels and stuff and everything. And then finally he was able to put Aldo on his album. His label, the independent label that they had, and signed him to that and released this album called Blood on the Bricks. And it's a really good album. What's ironic, though, is that Phil X, when Aldo toured to promote that album, guitarist Phil X was the guitar player to go out on the road, and now Phil X is John Bon Jovi's guitar player.
That's cool.
So it came full circle for Phil.
That's cool that he mentors younger musicians or new, you know, up and comers, that Bon Jovi doesn't have to do that, but he does, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's sick.
What's that?
I just said that's sick.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. John's done so much, you know, with his own career. It's like he's at a point where he's kind of giving back.
That's great.
And everything, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So, and I've always liked those certain stories, like who knows who and who's helped out who and everything and so forth. And
right.
It's amazing when you find out who actually has worked with so-and-so.
You know what's... that reminded me, like, I saw Donovan in concert one time, and he told us, like, a ton of stories about, like, he would, like, work with the Beatles and, like, other stuff. It's just cool to hear those. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was, like, a concert and a storytelling. Like, he's like, this is how this song was made, and I thought that was so sick. Mm-hmm. Like, for my dad, who's obviously been listening to him way longer than I was, because I was, like, 16 at the time, like, it was just so cool to just kind of hear how the puzzle pieces came together, you know? Mm.
It is really interesting. You know what? You guys want to hear something really cool?
What?
Okay, Casey?
Yep?
Can you jump on YouTube real quick, sweetheart?
Yes, ma'am.
And do a search for Matthew and Gunnar Nelson, Love and Affection. And I think you guys will get a kick out of this story. Because they talk about, this is their number one hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed this to my son the other day, and he got a kick out of it. Let's see. I think it's going to be... No.
I remember this. I remember this when it came out.
Yeah, back out of that. I'll go back to the list. The second one, sweetheart. Please.
These are the sons of Ricky Nelson.
So if you're not too familiar of who Matthew and Gunnar are, Ricky Nelson, of course, the first teenage idol.
Mm-hmm.
And Lifetime Magazine is actually one who gave that title to him. Had four kids. The oldest was Tracy Nelson, who became an actress.
Mm-hmm.
Twin sons, Matthew and Gunnar, who then formed their own band called Nelson in the early 90s.
Nelson.
And then their youngest one, which is Sam Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and because of the twins and this song, they're now in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Ooh.
For being the only family to have three consecutive generations each having a number one hit.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool.
So Ozzy, Ozzy Nelson, their grandfather had a number one hit in 1935.
Wow.
Their father, Rick Nelson, obviously had a couple number one hits.
Yeah.
And then they had a number one hit with Love and Affection. Mm. But the thing is, I want to show how this song came about is what it is. And it's really cool. Can we go ahead and get the audio on that one now?
All the way back at the beginning?
No. Let's go ahead and play it from there. Let's see where they're at. No.
Mm-hmm. Realize it, but basically, we were trying to be the heavy metal Hollies. So we were rocker. The difference in our first.
You go ahead and let it play from there.
For twins, every similarity has a difference.
Yeah, let's crank it a little bit, please.
Matthew started writing this song, and it really is his personality. Check it out. It's something like this. Tambourine Man. Isn't it beautiful? sweet.
So cool.
Yeah.
Special, perfect. Pristine, just like Matthew. Now, my job in this twinship is to take things that are perfect and pristine and beautiful and screw them right up. So here was my contribution. Jesse had a friend.
Exactly.
But you put those two flavors together, and they go together just like peas and carrots. Check it out.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Twins. Gemini twins?
No, I don't think so. So, all right. Thank you, Casey. I appreciate that.
And I don't know if you heard this story, that they wrote it at the time for Cindy Crawford.
Yes.
To woo her.
Yeah.
I don't know which one of
them.
Yeah,
Matthew was actually in love with her. And then she found out later on.
Yeah.
And she really appreciated it and everything, too, which is kind of cool. But what's interesting, though, is that, you know, they jumped on the end of the whole hair metal band. Mm-hmm. You know, they were on the coattails of that. And what Gunnar was talking about a little bit earlier was that all of the hair metal bands that you can think about, Poison, Warrant, Guns N' Roses, God, who else? Jeez, I'm trying to think who else.
Rat.
Rat, yeah. all of them were all blues-based bands, you know, which is very true. But for them, they grew up during the second era of their father's music, which was during the Laurel Canyon days. So you're talking about the folk era kind of thing, which is why he said we were trying to be the heavy metal Hollies, you know, and everything. So their music is not blues based at all, and why it's so different than what was out there at the time. And nobody could really, in essence, compete with them because they were so different.
Yeah.
You know, and made them stand out.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the stories that they tell in their shows, because they do shows, it's called Remembering Rick Nelson. So they play their father's stuff and kind of give the history about their dad and everything. And then they do, you know, a couple of their tunes also. And what's really interesting, though, is they tell these stories about growing up. At the Flint Errol Flynn house, which their dad bought, and they would talk about, you know, the crazy Uncle Bob with the crazy hair. They didn't realize until years later it was Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
you know, and then there's,
you gotta love kids.
And then there's the neighbor, you know, Uncle George, who was actually George Harrison. You know, they didn't realize who it was. You know. And then Mama Cass was actually also one of their babysitters at times. And Gunnar says, you really haven't lived life until you've driven through a McDonald's drive-thru in a Rolls Royce with Mama Cass.
Damn.
You know, and this was the norm
for
them.
Yeah.
Oh, they have stories, I bet.
Oh, dude.
Wow.
They've got so many stories, you know. The coolest one, though, I think, in my opinion, personally, that guitar that we saw Matthew playing, I sold him that guitar.
Oh!
I sold him that guitar, yeah. And he still uses it to this day. So, yeah. But yeah, they've got tons of stories, though.
Wow.
You know, it's really, really interesting.
How cool.
So, yeah. But talking about how songs are formed and everything, you know, I'm like, that's kind of a good example to show how two people have come together, even though they're brothers or whatever, but two different personalities, even though they're from the same cell.
Yeah, bringing something different.
Bringing something completely different. Yeah. So I thought you guys would enjoy that.
Sweet.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's catch up with each other because we haven't done that in a couple of weeks. Well, we're going to start with the lone man himself, Oz Davis, because damn it, you went to Vegas. How much did you win, Oz?
I didn't win too much. I didn't lose too much.
Mm-hmm. So you broke even, huh?
I lost like $60.
Did you play craps?
No.
Come on, you got to play the craps table.
No, I don't like the... See, I know I'm a terrible gambler. So I stay, so I stay away from the games of chance. I stay away from anything that requires discipline, like blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can at least, like, not lose your shirt if you play seriously in blackjack. But
yeah,
people
like
play
your
hunches.
Socks, maybe, but that's about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right. You can get out of there with maybe just losing shoelaces. No, it's no problem. So
that's how I wear Velcro shoes.
But, you know, I don't play disciplined. I like the free drinks too much, which is another. It's a serious impediment to gambling. I play the sports. I play sports betting because I think I know something about that, and I am convinced that it's not entirely luck at all.
Right.
Same with poker. Poker, I think, is a legitimate game, but you play poker in Las Vegas, you're going to lose. You're there for the lesson at that point.
See, because that's why I like craps, though, because I learned to play craps from one of my mom's former coworkers, because my mom worked for a law firm, and every so often they would do like a Vegas night kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So, and I got a big lesson one night at the LA Zoo on how to play craps. And it's never play the dice numbers themselves. They said the easiest way to do it, they have something called the pass line.
Yeah.
Okay. You bet there. And as long as the rolls are good, you keep winning. So then on the second roll, if it's a good roll, you win. Then you take those winnings and put it behind the bet on the pass line. So now you're doubling down. And as long as the rolls are good, you're fine. And you just sit back, have your free drinks.
Yeah, but see, people can't resist. People can't resist.
So, see, that, and that's where you're talking about the discipline right. comes in. Because that's where I just, like, I have my free rum and cokes or margaritas or whatever right. and go, just let it go. Let it go. Just keep going.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, while everybody else is going, oh, put it on 7. Put it on 4.
I got a feeling it's going to be 4. Oh, you got a feeling. Oh, well.
I've got a feeling, too, you know.
Or one of these, and this is the classic one. Roulette is great for this. Oh, the last 4 rolls have been 6. The next one can't possibly be 6, right? Wrong. Mm. Wrong. Of course it can. Of course it can. And on roulette, it's just as likely as any other number, by the way, too.
Yeah.
So
bet
not
on
so
black,
much
but on red, you can't lose.
Right. No, because Wesley Snipes said it in Passenger 57.
Always bet on black.
Motherfucker, no.
No. That's Sam Jackson. That's not Wesley. Wesley's what see you wouldn't want to be you. That's his turn.
But I'm glad you had a good time in Vegas, though, man.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, well, I mean, again, I'm boring. The thing for me was just to stay in a good hotel, because that's always the thing for me about Las Vegas. If nothing else, they still know how to do hoteling there.
Yeah.
I've tried to do this before, but I just want to do writer's workshop. I just want to have room service. I just want to live in that room for a couple of days, and that's it.
The showgirls came up. Shut up.
room service.
So, that's room service for
me. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I've tried this in, like, San Diego. I've tried this even in Los Angeles. And you end up paying, like, $125 a night for basically a Motel 6.
Yeah.
And it's like almost nobody else in the world knows how to do hoteling anymore until you hit, like, 4-star, 5-star places, which
is why every time I go to Vegas, I stay at a Motel 6.
You might as well.
Yeah. Certainly.
No, but I mean, in Las Vegas, I mean, that's why I say Las Vegas, because they still know how to do it there.
Yeah.
They still have, concierges and stuff like this.
In all seriousness, though, how was the crowd over there?
It's okay. Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, it was back to normal, pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, I went, like, on a weekday, Wednesday, Thursday, so there wasn't, like, it wasn't packed, but, oh, yeah, people are there. People are playing.
That's cool. Yeah, because I know.
And people are working, too. That was the thing, is that I had gone back there, like, last year a couple of times, you know, like, sort of when the pandemic is kind of, like, fading out a little bit. You still have to wear masks everywhere and everything, but the bar wasn't open. The room service wasn't open because they couldn't employ these people. They couldn't fill the jobs. And the girls serving you drinks at, like, you know, the slot machines and the tables and whatever, they had to go back and mix the drinks themselves. They were giving me these sob stories because it was taking like 40 minutes to get a drink.
Oh, wow.
You know, a year ago. But see, now everybody's back. Employed. Yeah, it seems back to normalish. Yeah.
That's good. Because I know when I was there last time, I was performing for the Trini Lopez tribute.
Oh, nice.
And so it was a little bit different. I mean, things were starting to open up a little bit more. And, you know, yeah, they still wanted us to wear masks when we walked into the restaurant or whatever. Yeah. So, but But it seemed to start to loosen up back in, this was like, guess what, August, I think it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, so now I can only imagine it's probably opened up a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
So, awesome, yeah. Bud. Awesome. Nia. How are you? How you doing, darling?
I'm good.
How was your trip back home?
It was good, yeah. Spent time with my sister and my dog and the family. My sister graduated 8th grade, woo! Mm. So
now she can take on the world.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's a teenager now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she knows everything, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a... She's a something. Love her, but she's a something.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, and then also, last week, literally like hours before I went on the plane, I went on a first date with a girl. I know. Oh my gosh. But,
How did it go?
Yeah, it went really well. She actually picked me up from the airport, like, when I got here, too. So, like, I went on the first date right before I went on the trip, and then I saw her right after I got back. Mm. And then I have...
That's a good sign.
Yeah. And then I have another date with her tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so...
I like it!
Yeah, and I'm excited.
Casey's chiming in.
She's really sweet. Yeah, and I met her... at a mutual friend's party like a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And then she's also come on set with me a little bit couple of times. Yeah, she's an actor too, and she's also a musician.
Oh, what does she play?
She's piano? I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but you blow into it and it's got keys.
Okay, because I know that she's
and then you strum it on the
I think she plays a couple instruments. I forget, but I just remember that she sings and that she, like, produces her own stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind meeting her just for that alone. Because I always love meeting other musicians and see how they come up with, you know, their own things and stuff.
Yeah,
have you,
yeah, yeah.
So. Very cool. Well, cool. I'm glad you had a good time. Good time. Forrest.
I am continuing my run of commercials for old guy medication.
Old guy medication.
I did the trigger point rocker for your back pain.
Now, notice, though, it's starring Forrest and co-starring. Notice, the co-starring, Shaq.
So. Yes, Shaq is my co-star.
Yeah.
And the general.
He gets a title role.
That cartoon general's in there too for a minute too. So yeah, this and next week I'm doing some kind of
you on cable.
Only if you're up at 4 to 4:15 in the morning, you know.
I don't know. Pluto TV has those general commercials a lot.
No, these are the commercials that come up before YouTube videos that you try to skip.
Oh, right.
Where you're just like waiting the 3 seconds to skip them.
Right, it's like, you know, where you see like the real commercial and then all of a sudden it's gone in a second and then his comes up.
Right.
Yeah, that's those are the commercials he's doing.
That's me.
Right, that's his.
Don't blink.
Yeah.
So, been doing that and got another one next week for some kind of red light therapy, they call it. Not that, no, not in Amsterdam or anything, but it's some kind of thing you put around your body and the red lights.
Well, that's Amsterdam.
Okay, yeah, well.
Exactly. Sounds like the red light district to me.
Your people. But this is some kind
God, of I hope so.
Brace that fixes your back
pain. I
don't
want no goat or anything.
No.
How was it? Not bad, you know.
But no, here in America where that's illegal, we'll just...
Except in Alabama.
No, right?
In Kentucky. So
We don't air in... Alabama.
No, we don't. Oh, thank God.
All right. Then we're okay.
That's like the one southern state I haven't been to.
Alabama?
I've been to every other southern state except for Alabama.
You avoided it?
Yeah.
Well, not on purpose. It just happened. But, I mean, it's not like I'm begging to go there, so.
Yeah, I've been to, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I love those. God, all those states. I remember the first time I flew into Atlanta. Into Georgia.
Yeah.
Nothing but green. I've never seen so much green before.
Oh, yeah. No, Georgia's gorgeous.
Oh, my God. Wow. And the peaches. Woo. So, anyway.
That's it. That was it.
That's it?
Yeah, yeah. Although we have a good Florida story later. All the good stories come out of Florida.
Yes, they do. They always come out of Florida.
In what's news.
Yeah, they always come out of Florida.
Rear its head here.
Yeah. Casey, how was your week?
Doing well. Florida's taken over, though.
What?
Yeah, everyone is moving to Florida.
It's so the get place this to go.
Random fact, because I'm full of them. Chicago's younger generation lost individuals And Florida's younger generation actually gained more individuals.
Mm. I don't like Florida.
Like, Florida's getting younger, Chicago's getting older. What?
Oh. I mean,
I didn't know that many Jews in Chicago.
I'm not...
Youngest generation. Gen Z, she's talking about.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't get
she's not
hype.
Talking about boomers.
Like, Florida was
Zoomers,
one of those...
not boomers.
Glad she's retiring in Florida, that's why.
Florida was one of those states that I visited, and I was like, I don't get the hype. Like, I think Florida is so overhyped. Like,
I think it depends on where you go.
Yeah, I've been to, like, a few different cities and beaches in Florida, but I still think it's overhyped. Like, you can... I think, like... beaches-wise, if you go over to, like, the beaches off of South Carolina, they're nicer... and there's usually less people. And so it's like, if you're going to go to a beach, I'd rather go to like South Carolina than Florida.
But you're from California. You're supposed to hate Florida beaches.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I'm not a fan of Florida in general.
The only thing I didn't
it's
like
not
about
just
it was
the beaches.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about it was the humidity, really. But
I like humidity.
But I'd rather deal with that than anything else.
He just looked at
you're
me
the
like
first
crazy.
Person to ever say that.
Well, because I like
humidity.
It. Yeah, I like it.
I was like North Carolina, too.
Well, yeah, because I
like sweating. I like to sweat. Sweat is good.
Sweating's sexy because you glisten.
Well, I spent like quite a bit of time in the South, and I just, it's like, it's the dry heat for me, like, takes out all my energy. It just, like, sucks the life out of me.
That's great, too. Desert heat.
So Oz is just a lizard.
Yeah, I just like the hot weather. Yeah,
he's a chameleon. What are you talking about?
Hot.
I don't know. I mean, I like Florida because, I mean, Florida, it's somewhat like like Southern California because you've got so many things that you can do there.
Yeah.
Overall, you know, it's because you got Orlando, the dead center of the damn state itself. Yeah. You go an hour and a half this way, you know, and you're at Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
So you go another hour and a half the other direction, whatever. Now you're on the Gulf, completely different type of temperature water.
That's the whole East Coast. The East Coast is set up a whole lot more like Europe is, where you can like hop on a train, hop on a bus, go from one state to another, enjoy what that state has to offer, and then bounce right back on the last train for the evening.
Well, I think
and be
more
home.
Most of north of the East Coast, but I mean, when you get to the southern states, not that much.
Gulf over there, you can go right into like Mississippi, and
people make that train from Boston to Washington every day, right? And you can just follow that straight through Virginia and straight into Florida. And the wild
DC.
Thing is if you drive it or something, it's just city, town, town, city, town, town, city. It's just civilization the whole way down.
All the way down.
It's really nice. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and then you get down to the Keys in Florida. It's a little bit different.
A little different.
Too.
Yeah. But that's a little more tropical. Now you're hitting more like resort style living and whatnot.
Caribbean.
But anywho, I've been just skydiving a little bit more lately. It's been really enjoyable for me.
No, you've been doing something a little bit more different lately with your skydiving.
I rode a wingsuit. That was that was interesting.
She didn't
interesting,
try it on.
So.
She actually was like
my buddy. So I'm a buddy of mine is a wingsuit pilot, right? So he likes to skydive wearing like the flying squirrel suit that everyone sees in the videos, right? They make
a
big splash all over the virtual internet, right? Yeah, so he took me on a rodeo. Essentially, we exited the plane at the same time. So I held on to him while he flew his wingsuit. So essentially, what it feels like is holding on to the top of an SUV. Going 120 miles an hour, 150 miles an hour. It's like that. I was like flopping off and his back, and then landing back on him. It was wild. You like had to hang on. It was definitely considered a rodeo.
That's awesome.
But it was a lot of fun. Yeah, around 7,000 feet, he just barrel rolled. I let go, and we separated off so we could deploy our parachutes and whatnot. It was really fun. It was a cool thing to experience. I will definitely eventually be wearing a wingsuit, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. I have a few more jumps before I can, but we'll see. Once I get there, we'll talk then.
You know what? We got to do that on the air then when you do.
Nah, I don't think we do, actually.
We're going out to Temecula.
I don't know if we actually have to do that at all. That sounds terrible.
We're going out to Temecula. Putting a mic on you.
We do not have to.
I know, right?
We're going to put a mic on you.
No,
have you jump out.
Yeah, what will we hear, Casey?
A lot of wind.
Wind?
Yeah, a lot of very loud.
This is what you're gonna hear.
It does not sound like that. You don't hear much of anything. It's very loud. It's just windy.
Wow.
They do make communication devices now that can go into the headsets so that you can talk to one another while you're skydiving and whatever. So a lot of people that do it.
Well, let's hook it up.
Crew, no, we do not need to do. No. They won't even let you in the beginning because like your focus is so much on just trying to pilot this new suit that they like don't want any additional. Yeah, no, yeah. Not even a little bit. Mm.
That's wow. valid. You can die.
Okay. Yeah, you can die.
Okay, so on your third jump then.
No, probably not. You can probably do that to my buddies. Oh, speaking of which, tonight actually is pretty cool. We're doing night jumps, and they're going to be sending, I think, like 15 or 18 wingsuiters out the plane at the same time, so they'll do a big formation at night during the full moon.
Wow.
Oh, there's another full moon?
Mm-hmm. Well, every month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, once a month it happens.
Enough. Tends to happen.
Just like clockwork.
It just feels like there was just a full moon. I don't know.
Yeah.
It feels like it was like a week.
So I'll be on the drop zone after here, so go enjoy that.
That'll
and that'll be a
cool.
fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
are they going to do the thing where the smoke comes out of their feet and stuff or anything? Or?
I don't know if they've got smokers or anything like that. But they usually wear some kind of glow stick or LED lights or.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of cool then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they call them UFO jumps.
I mean, kind of cool, though, to have, like, all these LEDs all over the suit, though, and then play, like, you know, Disneyland's Main Street Electrical Parade as they're falling down.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
I mean, yeah, it happens frequently.
That'd be cool. Does it really?
Yeah. Well, oh, maybe cool. not particularly that music.
That music, okay.
Music in general.
All right. That's cool. I want to go see that now.
You should.
I want to go see that.
I encourage everybody to go check out their local drop zones. They're fun. They're entertaining. It's just a lot of people, plane poop raining from the sky.
Yeah. I had a drop zone earlier the week.
Oh, jeez.
I fell down the stairs. That was my drop zone. I dropped right there. But, no, I had something interesting happen last night, though, or actually yesterday. And so I have the habit of leaving the garage door, not the main garage door, but the door that you walk in, you know, from the backyard into the garage, open half the time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I always forget that there's critters that come around.
Like the possum. No, it was so cute.
Mm-hmm. No, that was not a cute possum. That thing
yes,
was,
it was.
No, it was huge.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's nothing.
And adorable.
Oh, my gosh. It looked like one of those creepy things from Princess Bride.
Yeah.
R-O-U-S's?
I don't know.
Rodents of unusual size.
It looked like a puppet.
Yeah. Babes in Toyland.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awful.
So
such an underrated Keanu Reeves.
Keanu,
by the way,
and Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, right. Isn't it? Yeah, it's both of them. Mm-hmm.
I love seeing.
Moving on.
So was it a possum or was it a rat or what?
It was a possum.
It was a huge.
Well,
possum.
They're talking about a possum.
Oh,
because they're talking about an incident where a possum was on our fence, and it came out from under the orange tree, and then it noticed that there was a pot in front of it. Of a plant that we had set there and realized, oh, I can't go anywhere, and then turned around and then went back the way it came from. Well, yesterday, though, I go out and I was going to go out and get dinner for the family and a friend of mine that was coming over. Actually, Mark, which I want to give a little bit of a shout-out to because he helped with the fixing of our laptop.
Oh, cool.
So, which is great. Woo. He upgraded and everything. Casey's very happy with it now because you turn it on and it starts up within like 5 seconds now.
Oh, very nice.
So, very cool. So, thank you, Mark, for that.
Thank you.
So, anyway, so I open up the door. I saw something furry.
No.
Didn't know what it was. I wasn't expecting it, so I almost crapped in my pants, basically. I think a little pee came out, but, you know, almost crapped in my pants. And
TMI.
it's a visual thing. Theater of the mind. And so we both scared each other, and it runs back into the garage. I just kind of backed up overall because I didn't know what it was. So I didn't know if it was a possum, a cat, or a skunk.
Raccoon.
So, or a raccoon, yeah, exactly, because there's raccoons around here, too. So,
yeah.
I really, and those things are vicious.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, everything's, oh, they're cute, whatever. They look cute, but fucking leave them alone, because they can get very, very vicious. So, I slowly kind of went, where are you? And got the broom, and make sure I don't want to get sprayed if you are a skunk or whatever, you know. Go out and get dinner, come back. I parked you know, in front of my garage. Mm-hmm. I left the garage door.
Took over the garage.
You're very cautious with this unidentified.
Dude, if it's a skunk, I don't want to get sprayed. I'm serious, you know, because I don't have that much tomato juice.
Oh, is that the only remedy?
I don't know.
As far as I know, to get rid of the smell.
The only one that works.
Excuse me. Yeah, exactly. So, so finally, later on that night, after leaving the garage door, the main garage door open and the back door open also, I said, okay, I need to pull the car in. You know, it's around midnight or so, 12:30. So I pull in and everything, and then I decided to leave, close the main garage door, but leave like a crack, maybe like about a foot, you know, just in case it can get out.
Or let others in.
Or let others in. You never know. Because I was afraid that it might have been a female and she's nesting. Mm-hmm. That's my big fear.
Ooh.
So yeah,
baby.
Exactly. So I left. I left about a foot open in the main door. I closed the back door and come upstairs, watch TV, and then I decided to go back down, get a drink of water, and then I noticed it was a skunk for sure, trying to get into the back door. And the thing was, and what started the whole thing for me was that I noticed that something around, because I have these pavers, it's like broken cement to create this little path to go from our patio to the garage door. And the grass grows in between those. Well, I was noticing right in front of the garage door, there was all this dirt, like something was trying to dig around that. And I'm going, that's kind of odd. So I got the broom, brushed all the dirt and the rocks out of the way or whatever, because it was blocking the door. Well, three nights in a row, it was like, I'm like, okay, something's going on. Yeah. There's got to be some animal trying to get in, this and that, or whatever. Until last night, I came face to face with a whatever, you know, kind of a thing that scared the crap out of me. You know, so I didn't know what it was. I mean, it could have been a miniature Bigfoot, as far as I'm concerned.
Could have been.
You know, I don't know.
Could just be a rat minding its own
Bigfoot,
business.
Is it really a Bigfoot?
No. Yes.
Foot.
Flat foot.
You know, flat foot. Could have been a flat foot.
Tiny foot.
Yeah, tiny. But it's got to grow. It's got to have its nutrition, you know. So.
Maybe it was only so,
but
the foot.
Anyway, so it wasn't until afterwards I finally found out like that it was
a skunk
trying to get in.
Wow. And it's a furry only
so,
foot.
Well, yeah.
You averted disaster there.
I diverted disaster, man. Yeah. So now I've got to look in certain spots, though, to see hopefully it's not nesting and there's babies there.
Right.
I think that's baby skunks are so cute. Have you ever seen them waddle? They're just boop, 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 boop.
A baby rhino is cute, but I'm not going to have it in the backyard.
Well, I would.
You know?
I would love a baby rhino in my backyard.
Well, you sprayed a little when you saw it, so, you know.
A little
you
bit,
you
yeah.
Can't judge, you can't judge them. For,
a little bit, exactly.
don't judge them. It's just their nature.
And that's just it. I couldn't remember if both male and female spray, or is it only one versus the other?
That I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's both.
Is it both?
I think so, yeah. There's no reason why that would be gender specific, right? It's a defense mechanism. So.
That's what I was thinking, you know, because I was watching a lot of Pepe Le Pew cartoons. So I wasn't
right,
too sure.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's accurate, too.
But the female in that is a cat. You know that, right?
Right, right. Okay. But I just want to check on the male side, though, first.
You're one step ahead of Pepe
yeah.
Le Pew. Then.
But she always got hit with that paint, that stripe right. of paint, right?
She'd walk under the fence.
Yep.
She'd walk under the fence. Yeah.
Terrible luck.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, so yeah, so that was my adventure of the week. Which was a good enough adventure for me. I was like, scared the crap out of me.
I would totally have a baby pet skunk if it like was desprayed.
You can do that.
I know.
Oh yeah, yeah, you can.
Pull the glands.
Desprayed. It's called descented, but
I thought it was deglanded. Actually,
yeah, that's a more.
Sorry,
not
just
yeah.
I will tell you this though: a possum does make a great pet, provided. You raise them as a baby, though.
They aren't cute.
They are when they're small.
You can't just kidnap one from outside and expect it to adjust.
Yeah, it ain't gonna work.
Be civilized. Be domesticated.
All right. Are we moseying on?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do horoscopes. All All right. Well, as always, guys, at the top of the month, we always like to do horoscopes for all of us here in the room. And, of course, those that it is the birthday month. And, damn it, we've got two Geminis in the room.
Like the same
Holy
birthday.
Holy cow. Yeah, exactly the same birthday.
Crazy.
So, which is kind of neat. Like I said, see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, you're the fifth person I know now that we share the same birthday.
Damn.
So, I've got buddies of mine who are twins. And then the drummer from Danger Danger is a buddy of mine. And so he shares May 30th. And then a bartender I know also shares the same birthday.
I actually deny this affiliation. I was actually hatched from a mating pod on my home world.
Okay.
Okay, Leo.
Well, you want to do Gemini first? Or are we the
No, we'll do Gemini's last.
Okay, okay.
We'll do Gemini's last. All right, so Leo. Roar. Let's see here.
Wow.
It's for you.
Yeah.
I know.
Terrifying.
I mean, I ain't going to go meow.
It's fair. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. And you were wondering about yours from last month, too.
I need to go back and re-listen to the episode, yeah.
And okay. Well, here's this month here. You'll be eager for community right now. Leo, as Gemini season activates your solar seventh house, the cosmic climate is ideal for getting involved with special interest group, class, your local art scene, making it important that you seek such experiences. Luckily, most people will be in a chatty and friendly mood, not on this show, throughout the month.
Too chatty.
It's an oxymoron. All right. Helping you find out new connections and friends. See, June 4th, which already passed, though, can bring extra dose of luck to your quest. Because the Leo moon connects with the sun and healing asteroid Chiron. I think Chiron's very important for some of these, too. I was kind of noticing that.
Mm-hmm.
On a professional level, you should see some transformational activity when Mercury connects with Pluto on the 10th. You could find that your daily responsibilities are shifting at work, helping you focus on tasks that are more fulfilling and exciting to you. This is also a great day to discuss your desire for growth within your company or field, so be sure to schedule a chat with anyone who can help you actually get to these goals. Not bad. The summer solstice emerges on June 21st. You'll be an extra sensitive to the energy that surrounds you, which could cause you to close off a bit socially, but remember to set psychic, mental, and physical boundaries with anyone who tends to bring you down.
Down.
Pay attention,
no.
Mateo. And try to lean into the people who encourage or inspire you. Come over here, sweetheart.
No, hi.
Yeah. The solar placement also seeks you to touch base with your deepest thoughts and emotions, even if doing so isn't always fun.
Damn, the insight I see behind her eyes right now. She's like, this one hits.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. There you go, Leo.
Thank you. I'll take that in, I guess.
All right. Nia, what do you got?
I got Libra.
Okay.
Aha. Watch out for sensory overload this month, Libra, as the Gemini sun activates your solar ninth house. This cosmic climate is poised to bring a huge boost to your psychic abilities, making you more susceptible to the emotions, thoughts, and anxieties of others. Meanwhile, the universe will be looking for ways to communicate and guide you, bringing an elevated yet busy energy to your psyche. You'll have an opportunity to reach enlightenment through this vibrational crescendo, but you'll need to ground yourself and find your center in order to truly understand any messages being sent your way. Venus, your ruling planet, cozies up to the north node on June 16th, shifting the winds of fate. It will be important that you listen to your heart on this day and allow your intuition to guide you. This cosmic climate will push you to evolve, which could inspire you to set boundaries with both yourself and the people around you. A sweet alliance between the Sun and Saturn also asks you to take a more serious approach towards your goals, encouraging you to implement healthier and more efficient daily routines. Your focus shifts towards personal and professional success, beginning when the Sun enters Cancer for the 21st, officially kicking off summer. You'll become more aware of the impact you have on your colleagues and loved ones during this time, inspiring you to build from the sturdy foundation of support you've manifested for yourself. Whether you're hoping to gain more... Do you know that word? Notoriety?
Yes, because I can see exactly through the paper.
Notoriety?
Notoriety, maybe?
Notoriety?
Yeah, I've never heard of that word. Through the arts, start your own business, or look for a career.
She's young, folks.
I'm still in education. Now
that's next semester. They cover. They cover that word.
Yeah. Notoriety. Huh?
When she takes her psychology class.
This is my horoscope, Nia. This is crucial to me that you get this right. All right.
What does it mean?
I have one sentence left.
You almost made it.
Now is the time to approach such goals with an open heart. There you go.
Understood. Okay.
Which I think boils down to more commercials.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I think that's what it's.
Open heart surgery.
The thing that she doesn't know is the thing you want most.
That's right.
The notoriety.
That's life.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
life.
That's poetic, yeah. really.
Forget the notoriety. Just move on.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. Bypass
the obscurity.
Little. Exactly. Exactly.
Heading straight there.
Yeah.
All right.
You're speaking of which. Forrest, who do you got?
Aries? Aries.
Aries.
Aries?
I don't know this word.
What?
I don't know. Yeah.
You don't get to say
Oprah,
anything about that.
Oprah.
I pronounce Libra correct. I pronounce Libra correct.
Okay, Oprah.
You Oprah. Know
what? How would you pronounce Libra incorrectly?
Libra. I don't know.
Libra.
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 Library.
Libra. You know, those Libras.
Those Libras.
I hate them Libras.
Libras. Ruining our country. Listen up, Aries. This month is perfect for exploring information and learning new things as Gemini season activates your solar third house.
Casey looks me directly in the eyes. I don't know if he made that up or if it's actually on the script.
Oh, you all have a solar third house. It's about to be activated, all right? So,
and it's my fault.
Socializing will be a priority for you right now. Is there a skunk in your solar third house? Is that...
That's in the solar third garage.
The third garage. He left it open again. You should plan on taking some time out for yourself when Mars, your planetary ruler, cozies up to healing asteroid Chiron on the 15th. I spent a lot of quarters on trying to destroy that asteroid Chiron as a kid.
Nah,
but
it was futile. Never
got it. This cosmic climate will help you reconnect with your personal goals and the motivation to reach them, though you'll need to acknowledge and move past any behavioral or thought patterns that have kept you from taking steps towards your highest path. All right, moving on. The summer solstice manifests when the sun enters Cancer on June 21st, putting you in a more sensitive and nurturing headspace. This solar placement inspires you to cater to the needs of your nearest and dearest, though you could lose patience with anyone who takes advantage of your doting nature, especially if you're carrying emotional baggage of your own. Try to focus your energy only on the people who support you, in return to avoid any physical, emotional, and mental depletion. Finally, a sweet connection between Venus and Pluto that day can help you acknowledge your own self-worth and set boundaries with those who might drain you, giving you an opportunity to start this new season on the right foot.
Oh.
That was
Aries. So that means two more dates with this new girl.
Wow.
Two.
Yeah.
No.
Ouch.
No.
Damn, talk about jinxing.
How about it?
Wow.
No pressure.
Now
no pressure.
If something goes wrong, you know who to blame.
The smile.
All right, Gemini.
All right.
It is your time to shine, Gemini, as the sun makes its way through your sign, bringing some extra sparkle to your aura.
Damn right it does.
Unfortunately,
go Geminis.
You could find yourself in a pensive mood with inconsistent energy levels. In the meantime, allow your loved ones to rally around you and lift you up, celebrating the treasured friends that you are in honor of your solar return. You'll begin to feel more upbeat and clear-headed beginning when Mercury enters your sign on the 13th, acting as a breath of fresh cosmic air. Hold on.
Okay.
Is there air in space? There's no air. No. There is no cosmic air.
No. No air in space.
This is a great time to play with your new perspectives and ideas, especially if your path has felt a bit boring lately. A desire to bring structure to your goals will find you when the sun blows a kiss to your Sirius Saturn on June 16th, inspiring you to take charge of your life. The 21st marks the beginning of Cancer season. Use this energy to analyze your personal finances and goals, especially when the new moon manifests on June 28th. This is a great time to set monetary intentions for the next 6 months.
I've been trying to set monetary intentions at the beginning of the year.
Dude, the inflation's ridiculous.
Libra. So
it's the Libra.
Libra. Damn Libra.
So be sure to meditate on where you'd like to be when the year comes to a close.
With a job, that's what.
Preferably with a Libra, I imagine.
No damn Libras. I'd rather have cancer than Libras.
and a job. Genuinely crickets. Really? Wow. All right, there you go, guys. And that is our horoscopes. All right, well, it's 10:49 right now. Of course, that means that we're running just a tad bit late. But we got him here because he loves coming in. Is our sports guy, Oz Davis.
Coming back to the wrestling scene. I'm coming back, Mean Gene. I'm going to be the champ again. It's been a long time since I crushed The Rock. Undertaker is a joke. I haven't been here in a while, Sean, and I know
You haven't.
Some pent up energy.
You
want to
have aggression
quiet.
Too. I know you want to talk about the Angels, but I thought that we tried to accentuate the positive and the funny stuff on this show. And there's nothing funny about the Angels right now.
Well, first of all, what the hell is going on?
I don't know.
I mean, I know they've been on a little bit of a losing streak. It happens with every baseball team. You know, you get a winning streak, you go to a losing streak, whatever. It goes back and forth. That's the game. But why the big change? Why?
Probably because I bet them in Vegas.
Great. But thanks, Oz.
Ever since then, they've been sent on a 1-14 streak, tailspin, guess you would call it. And the thing is, I don't get it. I don't get how they're losing these games. They're losing games 11-10. Then they're losing games 10-0. And then two of the last three games, they've lost to the Red Sox 1-0.
Yeah.
You know, Syndergaard, I mean, like just you look at these stats, you look at these games, and you can't see where it's coming from at all. Syndergaard, the number two pitcher, big signing from the Mets, he pitches a 1.48 ERA at home, and he's 3.70 overall. That means he's pitching like five runs, away. Mm-hmm. He pitched away the other day. He lasted two-thirds of an inning, gave up six earned runs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just losing every way possible. I saw the first game of this streak against Toronto. I had bet this game because Ohtani was pitching. Mm-hmm. Man, he was throwing some nasty stuff. But it was just these Toronto hitters in that game, were just massive. They got like six guys who are nephews or sons of former players. Monsters this year.
But is it enough to change management, though? I mean, is
Look, they're still in second place in the West.
Right.
Right? They're still, like, just a couple of games under 500. I mean, they were at, like, 600-something before this thing started. So, and it's a long season, right? We still have 100 more games, I think.
I mean, we're not even at the halfway point, really.
Oh, no. We're like 50, 60 games in.
Okay, so why do you think the Angels made this change in of management then? I mean, what do you think is behind it?
In sports, you always have to you can't fire all the players, right? And when you have to make a change, you usually go to the manager. Now, baseball is unique because you just don't see this in too many other sports where it's the middle of the season or a third of the way through the season, you fire the guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. In football, you have one or two of these guys, but even sometimes they'll take these lamest coaches and they'll let them coach the whole 0-16 season in football. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with hoops. You can't fire your coach halfway through the season in basketball. It just doesn't happen that much. Mm-hmm. And so, but in baseball, they feel like they can do this, probably because the season is so long. You have to make a visible change. You know, I don't know how the fans are in Anaheim these days.
I know a lot of people the fans are not happy from some of the people that I've talked to on Facebook.
I just wonder if the fans are going.
Yeah, you go back to, and we were talking about it earlier, when Mike Socia, was managing the team. I mean, even the year that they won the World Series, they started off with the longest losing streak in their history.
Yeah.
So at that point, they could have said, you know what, Mike, maybe you aren't working out this year. Let's go ahead and get rid of you. Mike is one of the second or third longest manager for the Angels.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very surprised that something like this in the middle of it that they would change management like that.
Well, it might have been a thing, too, where, okay, so just recently the coach of the Utah Jazz resigned after 9 years. Uh-huh. And, you know, he'd been okay. The Jazz had made the playoffs a bunch of times, but he was just like, it's just time to make a change. Mm. You know, I've reached the limit or whatever with this team. You know, it doesn't mean he doesn't want to coach again. It's just like, no, it's just time to go. And you wonder if folks in, you know, Socha's circle were saying, don't you want to, like, leave before this season? You know, mm-hmm. haven't you run far enough? Because, again, like, this team the last few years has been frustrating as hell.
Mm. Yeah.
They seem to have all this talent. Yeah. They seem to know what they're doing. They don't play dumb baseball, generally. No. And, but still, nothing.
What
no
do
results.
You think is it that they need that maybe the Dodgers had the last couple of seasons?
I mean, aside from Mookie, I mean, Mookie.
Which is a great name for a Dodger.
Oh, yeah, it made such a difference.
I was so happy when he joined because, I mean, it goes back to the Brooklyn days. You know, who's playing first? Well, it's Mookie. Mookie's playing first.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they had that in New York.
Yeah.
Right? Mookie Wilson. He's the hero of 86.
He's a Mook.
Game six.
What's the first player's name? Was Mookie? Because he's a Mook. Well, that's his name. Mookie.
And now you're getting Mookie Juniors once in a while, too, yeah. Which is great. I love that. The second generation.
But, I mean, what is it do you think the Angels are missing overall?
It's so hard to tell because, again, they're losing these games in so many different ways. They'll lose these games in the first and then fall short. They'll lose these games in the ninth when they give up 4 runs, which happened not too long ago in the top of the ninth, you know, at home. You know, they just so there's just so many. I wonder if it's a question of depth. You know, because I talked about this at the beginning of the year. You know, they had found success with Ohtani batting one and Trout batting two.
Right.
Now, a lot of that speaks to, well, there's not that many other bats in this lineup. Mm-hmm. Now, they've gotten some good production.
Rendon.
I was going to say, out of a couple other players this year in the lineup. But again, and I mean, they're pitching. They've got Ohtani and Syndergaard, and then, you know, just kind of drops off. So maybe it's just a depth question, but again, like you look at these scores every morning or you watch the highlights or you watch the game, and it's just like you just every time it's something different. Time is something different. And it's not a good way, like the Celtics, where it's like every time it's somebody different stepping up.
Yeah.
It's, you know, on the Angels, it's some other disaster.
Yeah.
Stepping down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like again, just the other day against the Red Sox earlier this week when we're recording this, you know, 1-0. Syndergaard let up a run, I think, in the second, and that was it. That was it. And this was, you know, a couple of nights before, it was 9-5. They lost 9-5 to Minnesota. Yeah.
And, you know, and for me, I'd rather see them
what's going on?
I'd rather see them lose a game of 1-0. Because to me, that tells me it was a battle. It was a game, you know, and they held the one or whatever. But
the pitching performances were good.
Yeah, exactly.
At least the pitching was there.
You know, but when it's a blowout or whatever or what have you, I'm kind of like going, okay, they just weren't playing as they should play or whatever. But like you said, it's probably, you know, different aspects, different. Every game, it's a little bit different. Yeah. And it's hard to pinpoint exactly what.
It's what makes it maddening, but there's no way they should give up at this point because there's something like in the American League, I think there's maybe 5 teams above 500 right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, it's very top-heavy baseball this year. So there's absolutely no reason to give up with 2/3 of the season.
All right. Moving on then. What else we got?
I have got so many kudos to give out. First of all, I'd like to say welcome to Darvin Ham. I know it was a long time ago that he was announced as the new coach of the Lakers, but welcome aboard, Darvin. He's actually been seen in public at press conferences with Russell Westbrook.
And he's always evolving, so which is good.
So I guess we're going to stick with that.
Oh, wait, that's Darwin.
Yes, Mr. Chekhov.
Wow.
Darvin.
You just got that one?
No, I just realized you got it wrong.
That was on purpose.
since we last spoke, I want to give kudos to LeBron James and Tiger Woods, who were declared by Forbes to be the second and third ever sports-based billionaires.
Well, good for them. Give me some money.
Yeah, well, I was going to say this. The bigger picture on this
is... So happy for them.
Well, also, LeBron James put out this feeler the other day. He says he wants a new team dream in Las Vegas.
And to own it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really interesting. What an interesting power move. Maybe he'll get Michael to sell out on Charlotte and join him there.
And then he'll play with his son.
Kind of
interesting.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. His career. Yeah, 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 yeah.
No
Guess,
way.
Yeah,
never,
his son.
Never would happen.
Well, his son will play on Las Vegas. So
yeah, yeah, yeah. But no Michael Jordan and LeBron James will never
As
share
ownership?
The limelight.
Wow.
You don't think so?
No way. Those two alphas?
This is true. But what's interesting about that is, you know, that there are over 620 billionaires in this country, and there's only 9 African-American billionaires now. Just 2 added this year. Mm-hmm. And you can probably guess most of them. There's Oprah. I mean, Oprah.
Oprah.
Right.
Never going to live that
No.
Kanye West is on the list. Tyler Perry is on the list. And Jay-Z. I was actually kind of surprised that Andre Young, a.k.a. Dr. Dre, is not on there.
That's Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre. Yeah. Right? Dr. Dre. And I looked it up, and his estimated net worth as of the end of May is only... 820 million.
Poor guy.
820 million.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, 180. So he'll be there soon enough. I think what it was is he spent about 150 million of his own money on that halftime show, making those sets for the halftime show. So that took him out of the race. actually, the top 2 richest African Americans in the world, of course, are CEOs that you never heard of. There's an IT infrastructure guy named David Stewart, and then there's Robert F. Smith, who was with Goldman Sachs and now he runs a private equity firm.
Lead singer of The Cure.
So. Yeah. Also, so I just thought that was interesting. Good for those guys, I guess. I mean, LeBron said right when he started he wanted to be the first billionaire athlete in the country. So good for him.
Still, I need a job. Give me a job.
Go work for the Las Vegas team.
I'll drive for you even.
Go work for the Las Vegas team, man. Can you shoot the 3?
I don't know. Depends.
Wanted to give kudos to the Oklahoma women's college softball team. Who just capped off a ridiculous year. I think their final record was 59-3. I think they went this year. They won the last 2 games 16-1 and 10-5 against Texas.
Angels, do you hear that?
These are the kind of, they could probably beat the Angels by these scores at this rate. I just wanted to say congratulations, I guess, to Jocelyn Allo, who retires now. She's the all-time home run leader at 122 home runs in 4 years. Now, the next closest is 96, is Lauren Chamberlain with 96. Mm-hmm. So this girl is like, wow. She's like the Aaron / Ruth / Bonds of
So what happens
softball.
Now that she retires, though, from softball?
Well, there is the national team, and the national team does actually go around the country all year and around the world, and they make some money off of that. So you could do that, but that's like the elite. Now, she'll probably be on it. She'll probably be on that. There's also this crazy softball league called Athletes Unlimited, or that's the name of the company that runs it.
Okay.
But it's this bizarre thing where they pick teams every week, and it's all and the scoring is done for individuals. So every player gets fantasy points. And then whoever the top 4 players cumulative are, at the end of every week, they pick their team for the next week. So it's totally bizarre. It's like this is team sport without a team structure. I don't really watch that very much.
I don't know, but I want to learn more about these fantasy points.
Those
though,
are the outlets. You know, well, you know, doubles, triples. Hold on. Get your mind
That's
out of the
I'm
gutter.
About, triples.
Get your mind out of the gutter. So
too late.
Congratulations to Oklahoma. I wanted to give kudos to the country of Wales before we make any jokes about the aquatic mammal. they qualified as the second to last team to make the World Cup. Now I know that, you know, the sentimental favorite for that spot was Ukraine. Wales had to beat Ukraine in that last game, 1-0 to advance, but Wales, this is the first time they're in the World Cup since 1948. So, hey, let's give them some props. Smallest team by far in this World Cup, and they're in a group with England, Iran, and the U.S.
Oh, boy.
In the cup this November. They play the first game against the U.S.
They had a nice run.
So, well, you know, it's kind of a thing where we're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, literally, these are guys. There are a couple of guys that are semi-pros on this team, but most of these guys are either playing in B division in England or they're on the bench. In a European team or whatever. So this is really, you know, happy to be there for them. Yeah. Really, honestly, this is a great honor.
I'd love to be on a bench in England, too.
Great. Great honor for them. And I guess just last but certainly not least, kudos to Steph Curry, huh? Did you watch this game last night?
No, I missed it.
Oh, my God. 43 points. You watch the talking heads on ESPN. You listen to the podcast, whatever. Going into game four, Celtics up 2-1, and it sounded like it was over. You know, everybody is willing to give this trophy to the Celtics. It's almost as though they've forgotten what these Warriors have done. You know, and what the Warriors are doing right now is fantastic. It's kind of like a reverse Benjamin. It's kind of like a Benjamin Button thing.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
Right. This feels like the first time they're winning the championship. Huh. You know, and that first time that they did win, it was like they already had the swagger. You know, they already knew they could win it.
Hmm.
And it's like now it feels like they're not sure they can win it, but they got one great player, you know, that's going to carry them through.
Yeah.
And Steph was just a monster. And, you know, the media is being unkind. They're going, Steph's going to have to do it by himself. But Andrew Wiggins had a hell of a game last night. I think 16 rebounds. Anyway, his all-time best game for rebounds. Really kicked it in. Jordan Poole, again, basically came on whenever Steph wasn't there. He put in 17, 18 points as well. So, you know, this isn't just a one-man team. It's a great team. It's a great
team. How many people did Draymond punch?
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing, is that Draymond, that was the big, I guess, controversy for the Warriors, is that Draymond sat most of the fourth quarter.
Oh.
He has become... You know, more or less an offensive liability.
Yeah,
and so now it's almost like they're rotating between him and Looney.
Mm.
Right, when they need offense, they'll have Looney out there. When they need defense, they'll have Draymond out there. And so, but for a long stretch of that fourth quarter last night, when they pulled away to win, was with Draymond on the bench.
They put him in a timeout.
Yep. 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 Yeah. Literally,
yes.
A timeout. Hey, would you like to know more? Yeah, I got more. If you want more.
One more.
Okay, great. Let's give one more kudo. And notice that nobody ever gives kudo. They always give kudos. I wanted to give a kudo to Harini Logan, who was the champion of that great sport known as the Scribbs National Spelling Bee.
Mm.
Always a great sport to watch. Now, they used to have this on ESPN, but they haven't been doing that in recent years. And in fact, the last 2 years, they didn't have any competition at all. And this year, it's really worth seeing. You can get the whole final round on YouTube. It's like 3 hours long or something.
Mm.
But because last time out, there was a tie for first between like 8 or 9 contestants. They just ran out of words on their list.
Oh,
right?
I give them a big ass word.
And so,
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah, no, then you're just making stuff up, right?
Oh, no, it's a word. It's a word.
Smigledorp. It's from
it.
Vulcan, yes. So now they're doing this crazy stuff, like you got to pick the definition from one of three choices, and then when it's down to the final two, they do a speed round. So it's like they're just telling them to spell the word, they just got to spell it, and then it's next word, and they have like 2 minutes to do it, and then the next one goes. It's crazy.
Intense.
So it was really intense. So it was really, really a lot of fun, and I'm sorry that ESPN got rid of it, because, you know, if it's not on ESPN, it's not a sport.
Very true. Very true.
So it used to be a sport.
Not anymore. So there you go, guys. Sports with Oz.
Ooh, sports and spelling.
Sports and spelling.
And now I'm walking out with the championship belt.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Oz. It's always fun.
The Macho Man, Randy Savage. Superior once again.
Exactly.
Alrighty, guys. Well, you know, it's the season for graduations, and, you know, it's always interesting to see how many graduates there are, whether it be from high school, colleges, all the way down even to preschool and everything. But advice, if you were going to give advice to any graduate, whether it be college or high school, what would be one of the things that you might actually say? And I'm not talking about from here, but... You know, you yourself.
Oh, man. I mean, like, just take the pressure off. It's a long road from... There's a lot of pressure on graduating. Like, now I got to do something, be something. But it's a long road ahead. So, like, pace yourself and like, look at it more in the long term, you know? You don't have to get that job immediately. You probably won't anyway.
Right.
You know? So, like, just kind of look at things in a bigger picture if that. That's what I wish I had told myself, you know, not have all that pressure to try and accomplish everything at once.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. No, that's good. Nia, how about you? What would you say?
I'd say, like, a lot of people put pressure on themselves just choosing, like, a college major, and it's... Studies have shown that people change career paths at least like 3 to 4 times in their life. So it's like, just because you choose one thing in college does not mean that that's the thing that you're going to do for your next 50
years. That's true. Forrest, in your college career, did you change a few times or did you stay?
I was undeclared for as long as I possibly could be. So
and then you finally went, oh, there it is.
Yeah, I went. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but no, I guess not change. It just took me a long time to choose.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And Nia, since you're now going through college, obviously graduating high school, which is kind of hard to say, you know, what you go through there because you're forced to.
Fair.
But are you staying on the same path, or you feel like maybe I should change down the road, or?
I've definitely changed. Like, my plans have changed. They're fortunately enough, I haven't really taken a lot of classes towards my major because I'm in like the gen ed, you know,
right. Like, get that out of the way first.
Yeah. And so I was planning when I first graduated high school, I was going to major in psychology and minor in theater and photography. Then that changed to, psych and theater double major. Then that changed.
Come on, seven.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then now what I want to do is theater and communications double major.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Casey, how about you? Because, I mean, you've got your degrees, right?
Yeah, I've been doing the same thing since I was about 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. So I went to a technical high school, so I started doing like a trade in high school, and then I got a sponsorship from both my high school and the college to go do journalism, and then didn't enjoy journalism very much, so I transferred over and finished in film and television.
What advice would you give either college and or high school graduate right now?
You shouldn't have gone.
Fair.
Really? Don't do it!
Yeah, no, college is a trap. You're better off just finding an apprenticeship or an internship. If you're not part of the STEM programs, don't even go.
Literally. No,
wow.
Because, like, that's...
Wow. See, I would totally disagree.
The thing is, though, like, I'm in college and I'm at the place that I'm on the track of where I want to go already. Like, the job that I just got, like, that's basically what I want to do. Like, I'm already producing and I'm already acting, and I don't need college to do that, but I'm still in college.
Right, yeah. It's amazing on how many courses you need and don't need or whatever for certain trades.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, to me, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, it's everybody wants to be successful, so they feel like I need that degree to be successful. And the reality of it is you don't, because it depends on what quote-unquote trade you want to go into. You know, it you talk about, let's say, being a plumber or an electrician or whatever. I mean, they make great money doing what they do, and they're never out of work, you know, especially if you own your own business. Like, I've got a buddy of mine, actually two buddies of mine, that have their own air conditioning companies, and they go out and service and stuff or whatever. They were working for a company, then they created their own. And, you know, and now they're happy as a clam, basically doing what they like to do as a trade, making good money. They make their own hours as well, too, and everything. You know, but then there's certain things I see where more in the business sense where people, they need those degrees or whatever. Otherwise, they won't get hired or anything like that.
Yeah.
Oz, you've got degrees yourself and everything. So, but what advice would you give
a newly graduate, though? Well, I like this, don't take too long to get where you want to. Don't put pressure on yourself to immediately do what you ultimately want to do. But I would advise to at least stay peripheral to what it is you want to do. Because if you stay too far out of your chosen field for too long, you're going to be out of touch. You're going to, you know, whatever it is, you're going to be out of touch. You're not going to have made those contacts. You're not going to be able to learn how to squeak through into that other industry. Like me, I started in newspapers and now I'm in fiction, which was really the dream from the go. So
for me, I would always say, look at what you want. This was the advice my father gave, and this is something I've told my son also, is find something you love to do, whatever it is. You know, for some people, you know, the parents want their children push their kids to be doctors or lawyers or whatever. Well, that's fine, but, you know, find out something that you really want to do, whatever it is. you know, building surfboards, working on bikes or whatever, you know, and then, you know, picture yourself doing it when you're 50. And are you still enjoying it? Because you're now that much closer from retiring, basically. And if it still gets your rocks off, then that's the career for you. Anything else is a job.
Yeah.
But back it up with something that is going to help your career. You know, so, you know, let's say if it's going to be doing your own business, then get a business degree kind of a thing, you know. But find that one thing that you really enjoy doing and just and go out and do it and figure out a way how you can make money doing that one thing, whatever it is. And, you know, like for me, it's always been music. I've been doing that since the age of 9. You know, I've always jokingly said my hands do two things and two things only. One is make music. The other is you'll have to ask my wife, you know, and I leave it there.
Cook.
Yeah, cook. Exactly.
Okay.
God damn it. You found out. He's spoken to her already. But, you know, but that's the truth, though. I only know how to do those things. Now, granted, I've done other things within the entertainment field, though. You know, where I've been a puppeteer, I've learned other crafts, I learned to do stagecraft, which is something that I love, and, you know, building sets and so forth, I love doing that, and working on building those things, and then taking a step back going, wow, we did a hell of a job, you know, building that set kind of a thing, so I really enjoy it. It's so part of that whole creative process.
Right, see, it's related, it's related.
Yeah, it's all part of that process, and it's a way to do a living, you know. So, you know, it's that's the advice I would give. Find something you love to do, get your GE out of the way, and then go find whatever it is, and then see if there's a degree that can back it up.
Yeah.
You know, and that way you can go out and do the things that you want to do in life. Because I don't like for anybody, for that matter, to sit back, you know, when they're in their 50s or 60s and go, gee, I wish I shoulda, coulda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, why didn't you do that?
Yeah.
You know, I may not be the richest person in the world or whatever, you know, but I can say I've enjoyed my life, you know, on the people that I've met and the relationships that I have and everything because of the career I've chosen. And even just doing this podcast, the people that we've met and have relationships with and everything.
I was going to add that relationships are huge. I would tell graduates because so many of my jobs I could trace back to working with somebody in a different job or in a different place, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's all of mine.
That's another plus I would say about college itself is I don't know about many things, but I do know about business and entertainment, and if you're getting a degree in one of those, connections are key.
Yeah.
It's all about networking.
People. You're meeting people.
It's all about networking. Well, we've got a couple of things here for you guys. Our weekly dose, advice for grads. And we're going to do kind of round robin on these between myself, Forrest, and Nia. So do I have any little background, like graduation music maybe or something?
You mean the one that's been playing the whole time?
That hip-hop.
Is that what that was?
I was listening. I was enjoying it.
I couldn't tell. So
hip-hop, pop, pump, and circus dance.
Sean, just listen to the show.
Okay, listen to the show? Okay. Thank you.
Literally.
All right. All right. So here we go. I'll go first. We'll do a round robin here. And this is our advice for grads. You're graduating. That means that this is the first day of the last day of your life. No, wait. That's wrong. Hold on. This is the last day of the first day of school. Nope. No. That's the worst. No. This is a day. There you go. Yeah. This is a day.
It's a day.
It's a day.
You know about commencement speeches. We all have to listen to them. Well, they were invented largely in the belief that outgoing students should never be released into the world until they have been properly sedated.
That's very true.
I mean, some
that
of
is
these
so
speeches
true.
Are just...
I was wrong. I never got sedated.
On and on. Oh, boy.
My dear terrified graduates, you are about to enter the most uncertain and thrilling period of your lives.
That is so true. That's so true. The best advice I can give anybody about going out into the world is this. Don't do it. I've been out there. It's a mess.
Oh, man. Hey, look, when they hand you your diploma, just keep moving, okay? Because they might try and take it back.
Run!
Literally.
No, they're usually empty because they wait for you to return your cap and gown. And then
that's right.
They give you the actual
They just give you the blank thing. Right? And, oh, damn it.
Tricks.
follow your passion, stay true to yourself, never follow someone else's path unless you're in the woods and you're lost and you see a path, then by all means, you should follow that.
That's true.
Good advice.
Yeah, in the woods especially, yeah. Struggling to decide what to do after graduation is, and always will be, well, sort of rite of passage to the next phase of your life.
Congratulations on getting through the easiest part of life.
That's so true.
Uh-huh.
That is so true. Wow.
Bingo.
Wow.
High school and college.
Did that come from
not
my
grad school
profile?
Yeah, you. That's why I pointed at you. See, when I give you the finger.
You know that point at your...
Oh, wow.
Thought you were reading the text.
You know that point at your graduation ceremony where everyone tosses up their caps? Isn't it great that we all celebrate how smart we are by throwing sharp, pointing objects into the air?
Notice everybody ducks, too, after like, they throw it up. Like, oh, wait, wait, wait. Yeah, exactly.
I never threw mine.
Oh, I threw mine far. I'm still looking for it. As you set off into the world, don't be afraid to question your leaders, but don't ask too many questions at one time or that are too hard because your leaders get tired or cranky.
Dance like nobody's watching because they're not. They're all checking their phones.
That's true. They are. That's so true. They are.
Nice.
To those of you who are graduating this afternoon with high honors, awards, and distinctions, I say well done. And as I like to tell the C students, you too can be president.
Oh, yeah. C's get degrees is what they always say. Huh?
Yeah.
The main difference for you between life yesterday and life tomorrow is you can go into the bathroom whenever you want. It's a pretty big responsibility, but damn it, you've earned it.
Yeah, don't go in the garage, right? All right.
Don't be a skunk.
A graduation ceremony is an event where the commencement speaker tells thousands of students dressed in identical caps and gowns that individuality is the key to success.
Yes.
You're after me.
I know. I hit clockwise.
Notice the pattern.
I like how three of you pointed to me at once, too. I was like, oh, yeah.
She's enjoying the show.
I didn't go to college, but if I did, I would have taken all my tests at a restaurant because the customer is always right.
I like that one. There you go. And that's our advice for grads. All right. What time are we at? Oh, my gosh. It's 11:21. So
yeah.
You know what time it is then?
No.
I think it's time to play that game.
Ah. The game.
And now, the game show that conned a baker, Liz Merrick, into creating a toilet cake for free. Quiz me. Quiz you.
All right. The questions are right there. Can you hand those to Christopher?
That did actually happen, too.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, the baker was convinced to create a realistic cake that looked like a toilet with a roll of toilet paper to accompany it
awesome.
The promise that she would get a contract for a much bigger job.
Wow.
And then that never happened.
Rude.
Hilarious to me. I don't know why I find
what
this
a
so
shitter.
Funny.
Yeah. I was imagining those little spongy cakes in the urinal.
No, this is a life-size toilet that she built.
Oh. Chocolate?
No, it's porcelain.
Mm. Oh, okay.
All right, well, let's get Christopher. Yeah, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. All right, what we got?
We got a game.
Let's play it.
Let's go.
All right. Question one. Which working hours were a hit for Dolly Parton?
Oz.
Oh,
Oz. 9 to 5. That is correct. Nice job, Oz.
Thank you.
There's a cool story.
What a way to make a living.
There's a cool story behind how she started that song, too.
Question number two.
Oh.
Ooh!
Damn.
Ooh! He's pointing at you.
Thank you. All right. Who won an Oscar for her first film role in Mary Poppins?
Oh, Sean.
Sean?
Julie Andrews.
That is correct. Question number three.
Meow. Good girl. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Rao. What member of the Monkees?
Oh, shit.
A holdout for nearly three decades rejoined.
Oh, Sean.
Not Forrest.
Sean the Forrest?
Michael Nesmith.
That is correct.
Yeah, he's the one who didn't participate.
Because he had the liquid paper money or the white.
Well, that too.
Yeah. Thank you, Nesmith family, for liquid paper. Got me through
a
lot of things.
Number four.
I don't know that song. How's that go?
All right. Terry, I think it's Jenny Bola, is much better known with what name?
Can you spell it and use it in a sentence, please?
Hey, it's the spelling.
I just used it in a sentence.
In a different sentence.
It's G-E-N-E for that middle name.
Sean.
Oh, Forrest.
Sean then Forrest.
No, you got it.
That would be Hulk Hogan.
Ooh, that is correct.
That's right.
Love you, brother. brother, we're moving on number five.
Hulkamania's running wild.
40-inch python.
New York City is talked about in various songs. In an Eagles song, he's... Oh, my God.
Forrest.
I think there was a T missing in there. Forrest?
That's a New York minute.
That is correct.
Ooh.
I think there was a missing letter in there as well. Typo. Right. All right, question number six.
Forrest is coming back.
What comic strip character is the most filmed?
Oh, shit.
Weird question, but there you go.
Which comic strip character?
Is the most filmed?
Forrest? Charlie Brown.
No.
Oz.
Oh, that's a good one.
Snoopy.
No.
Casey?
Casey?
Batman?
No.
You could say that
this has a relation to Batman and the type of character.
So that's got to be Superman, right?
Oh, like from the DC world?
Did he start off with
the comic book, though?
No, because he started as a strip, and then they compiled a bunch of the strips into the first Action Comics.
Well, that's so Nike Sean.
First Sean?
Superman.
No.
Damn it!
Then
they're both vigilantes, they dress in black, they have a mask. This person has a sword.
Oh.
Zorro.
Oh, Sean!
Zorro Kemp.
Zorro,
yeah.
Zorro Kemp? See, I didn't know that was a... Nice. I didn't know that was a...
Comic strip.
Comic strip either.
There you go. Question number seven. The more you know.
George Hamilton.
Yeah.
In the cartoon series The Flintstones, what was the great... Gazoo.
Forrest. He was an alien.
That is correct.
Oh, that's
the great Gazoo.
Hello, Dum Dum.
You guys watched so many cartoons as a kid.
It was their era.
That's adults, I don't know.
That's
what
actually when the Flintstones jumped the shark.
I mean, to be fair, it was their era. Yes. They saw it live. It was a live TV show.
It was our era, my era. Damn it.
Jeez. All right, question number eight. John F. Kennedy was one of how many children?
Oh, God. I know it's in
$1,000.
Sean? 11.
No. When I get the next guess, I'll say who's closest.
Gotta go around the room.
Forrest.
Forrest.
6.
No. Wait. Sean, you guessed 11, right?
Yeah.
11 is closer.
Nia? 9.
That is correct.
Ooh, Nia's on the board.
What's funny is I was going to ask him to repeat the question because I didn't know what the question was.
You just guessed a number.
Yeah, because I heard two numbers. I was like, okay, I'll guess one.
Well, guess what question we're on.
Solid strategy.
We're on question number 9. How convenient.
I didn't realize that I didn't hear the question until people started yelling out answers.
Congratulations. You can try to get one next week.
Damn.
What was Van Halen's first album after Dave Lee Roth left?
Sean? 5150.
That is correct.
Damn.
Question number 10. Last question.
Softballs.
What convenience beverage did Joel Cheek develop?
Forrest. Jolt. Cola.
No.
What?
Why? Oz.
Oz?
The slushy.
No.
Sean? The Slurpee.
No.
I was going to go the Icy, too. But probably don't remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Polar Bear? The Polar Bear?
Yeah. Any other guesses? Around before I give some hints?
And, Casey?
No. Casey, milkshake.
No.
Yeah?
It's something that's instant.
Yeah. And it's like in the slushy like genre.
No.
Oh,
we just went down that road.
Yeah, they just went down the road. I don't know why they went down there.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay. What convenience beverage did Joel Cheek develop?
Convenient beverage?
Convenience.
Is it a name brand?
I know. Casey?
Instant
coffee?
That is correct.
Ooh.
Senka.
Humiliated.
That is the
coffee.
Game.
All right. Well, we do want to thank you guys for listening to us. We appreciate everybody also on the East Coast and in Indiana over at Lime City and Delmarva Talk Radio. So we appreciate you guys. Don't forget, show's website is weeklydose.com. Instagram and Twitter is yourweeklydose1. And our email account is also is at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. And go ahead and give our accolades all the way around. Go ahead, Forrest.
Oh, check out Free Lunch the Movie on Instagram. It's a film I'm a part of. Free Lunch the Movie. Thank you.
Free lunch. Do I get free lunch?
I will get you whatever lunch you want.
Whatever right. lunch you want, all as right. long as you watch and tell
if,
your friend.
Okay, all right. If you watch value. If you watch my podcast, Orville Mulligan, which you
I'll
should be a part
yours.
Of.
What's that called again?
Orville Mulligan, sports writer. You can get that at the Sports History Network. You can get that at orvillemulligan.com. That's the latest thing I'm working on. That's the best place to look up my stuff. And I'll check out Free Lunch.
And I'll check out Orville Mulligan.
Great.
Very nice. I'm on Facebook at KCN Summers, and I'm out of Facebook jail right now.
Yay!
Unrestricted for the moment.
Nia?
Nice.
My Instagrams are Nia Caitlin Ketstever and Ketstever Studios.
And guys, don't forget, if you want to listen to past shows, you can catch us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Friday mornings. And, of course, you can catch us live on both of those networks, East Coast time, 1 p.m. And once again, if you guys enjoy the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow without you, so help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your relatives, tell the neighbor's dog, we dare you.
Tell the Libras.
Tell the Libras.
No, don't tell the Libras. Don't tell them.
Anyway, guys, have a good one. We'll catch you guys next week. Until then, be good to each other. Take care.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.